Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
And welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Breaking news, we have a sponsor for this podcast, don't we, Helen?
Well, I'm so excited about this sponsor. Tell them all about it, Ellie Gibson.
Yes, we are being sponsored by Eneloop rechargeable battery packs from Panasonic.
Great guys, great batteries.
Great batteries. And there is a competition to win some Eneloop batteries. If you go on our Instagram, we'll put it up there, basically.
Yeah, they're excellent, so get involved.
But anyway, more battery chat later.
Mm-hmm. And I am so delighted because Clemmie Telford is back on the podcast.
Hey, Clemmie. Telford, not Kemi Telford, who we have previously had on the podcast. You are a different Telford. Are you related?
No, I'm not.
No. Well, good, good. Glad we cleared that up. Thanks for coming.
Good chat.
We've been scummy mummies.
This is Clemmie's third appearance on the podcast. And what is so exciting is the previous two episodes have been a huge success.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. You talked about anxiety, Instagram. It was all good.
And this is like This Is Your Life. You were born in 1975.
It has been a significant moment.
Yeah.
Your podcast was one of the last times I got drunk.
Yeah, I remember. Oh. And we wore catsuits.
I remember you basically
like ruined alcohol for you.
We put you off alcohol for life. Is that what it was?
A little bit.
I think she is saying that, listener.
Fair enough. If only it had the same effect on us.
Yeah, exactly, right. Oh, it's so delightful to have you back because so much has changed. Like the last time you were on the podcast, I think you were pregnant with your third child. So you still only had two kids, like me and Ellie, but you went on to have more.
I did. And she's 3.5 now. So it's been a while.
That is quite a while. And you've done all, you've expanded the business. You were Pecker Mama at one stage.
Oh,
whoa, she's physically flinched.
Yeah. Oh, it's just the early days, isn't it? It's been a journey, as they say.
It has. But you've gone on now, you podcaster. Mother of all lists is still a huge thing.
It is.
She's still blogging.
I am. Everyone tells me blogging's dead, but I'm sticking with it.
Blogging? Oh, yeah, fine. What are you in between updating your MySpace page and, buying new flares?
Bootcut jeans.
Yeah. They're back.
Doing your laundry with a mangle. Take you on Antiques Roadshow. Take your blog on Antiques Roadshow, mate.
But it exploded. And also, when did the Adele incident happen?
Is that your coffee?
It's coffee machine.
You know what?
Us again.
Adele posted about the football and I've got loads of new reads today. What's happened?
So one of the big things that happened to you with the Mother of All Lists blog was that Adele put it on her Instagram page.
Yes, because her best mate Laura wrote an amazing blog post about postpartum psychosis that continues to be my most shared post.
Mm. So blogging is relevant, Ellie. Look, words.
People still read it.
Okay, so we're saying that blogging is relevant because Adele likes it.
Does
Adele like it? Yeah. Is she into teletext? We don't know. Perhaps that could make a comeback if Adele's into CFAX. I don't know. I like your parameters. Yes. And now you've got a new thing, Clemmie, that you're here to talk about. What's going on?
I've written a book.
Oh, haven't we all?
Yes. In this particular crowd, it doesn't seem particularly impressive, but...
But why have you written a book, Clemmie? But why?
My kids tried to do a joke about this and we couldn't nail it. I don't know why I wrote a book, actually. If you'd asked me in the middle of writing it, I would have said, but why am I doing this? But I wrote a book to try and answer difficult questions from kids.
that's because that is the biggest, well apart from poo and vomit, is one of the biggest hurdles in parenthood.
Yeah.
You just feel very exposed all of a sudden.
Well, I thought I was going to be really good at it, and then I got a good chunk into it and realised it was an impossible task. But yeah.
Oh.
And here you are. And you've got a podcast alongside it as well, yep. called But Why.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of having honest conversations about difficult subjects, which I think makes me not much fun to sit next to at a party. I always think that.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm sorry, Dad wasn't listening.
I sat next to you at a party the other day and I had a lovely time.
Yeah, I do. Some people have written on my, oh, not on this one, on the book that it's funny. So that's good.
Oh, that's very good.
What, just with surprised. The biro? Funny. This is funny.
It's a bit funny.
Yeah. Funny.
You look surprised then, Helen. Yeah, I think I can be funny. I'm not as funny as you two, but I'm amusing.
No one's as funny as us two. We know that.
I know my place.
Yeah.
No, it's brilliant. And also, you know, your family has changed and you're about to move out of London. Is that right? That's a big move.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I'm going to say where I'm moving. I tried to keep it secret, but I know the people on the internet already know. So.
No, don't give it away. Let's just say, ooh la la, bon chance, Clémie. Bon voyage.
I'd like to be French.
I'm putting them off the scent.
Yeah, I can see that's fine. I fit in well in France. I've got a French name.
Is Clemmy French?
Clementine.
Telford.
Oui, oui. Oh, no, it's fantastic. And since we saw you last, I think you alluded to that earlier, we put you off alcohol. And how long are you sober now?
2 and a bit years.
And how's that working out?
I love it.
Good.
It's the best thing I've ever done for myself as an adult.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Is it more than you thought it's cracked up to be?
So much more. I think this always happens when I come on your podcast. I said to my friend just now before I left, I come across as so worthy once I get on it, but I'm going
to
do it.
No, but to be fair.
Little shit.
All right, well, if it helps, I would say in your defence, you never bang on about being sober unless you're asked. You never try and force it on anyone else. You'd have a good fucking job with us anyway.
Yeah.
And like we go to parties and it's just not a thing, right? It's not a thing.
At the recent party we went to, I did ask the waiter if they had any special non-alcoholic drinks. He said he had a lemonade.
Come on, lads.
I was at a lunch with someone who's not drinking a few weeks ago, and she asked for we were having espresso martinis, and she asked for espresso martinis without like non-alcoholic, and I was like, I think that's a coffee.
In a different glass.
Yeah. Maybe cold, but yeah.
Yeah, sobriety is the best thing I've ever done. Mm. Hands down. To feel consistently good. Alcohol was terrible for my mental health, which loops back to a previous episode I did about anxiety. I pretty much don't have anxiety anymore. And to feel clarity all the time is a good thing.
Mm. Mm. And you were, if you don't want to, you were a big drinker. Like, you were a party girl.
Yeah,
in your 20s.
I was.
That.
And again, not to get too serious, but I thought that was pretty normalised to drink to the point of memory loss, to drink an awful lot. And I now realise that when you drink a lot, you just hang out with other people that drink a lot, and you think that that's normal, but there's a load of people that don't drink.
Mm. Children, for example.
Yes.
They're not usually big drinkers.
No, dogs.
Yeah. Oh, you've really broadened your... new range of company, I see. They're clearly nice one. So how did you do it? For anyone who is interested, was it you especially sober curious?
Yeah. Sober curious, yeah.
One of you dabbled in that, haven't
I
you?
Have.
You
I have. I did 3 weeks without... I mean...
That's barely sober inquisitive, to be honest.
Should I talk you through that? Yeah. That really big time? No. Look, it was good. And we always say, when we've had a bit of time off booze...
You feel great.
Feel great, isn't it? Yeah. Annoying how fabulous
you
feel.
You do. That's the thing. I gave up because I wasn't really agreeing with me. I thought, oh, I'll do a month. And I felt so different in myself. Because when you get a consistent good sleep, which you do when you don't drink, when you're not eating... crap, which you do when you've been drinking, and then I was consistently exercising because I was never feeling hungover. Those three things add up to something pretty big.
So have you got any strategies for, because when I have been off the booze, either, you know, usually because we've got a big, because it's different when you're pregnant, like that's easy and everyone understands it, but it can be tricky if we've got a big project or something, or, you know, funny enough, I found that alcohol doesn't make you funnier. If you've got to get up and write jokes the next day, it's tough, isn't it? But then you have this weird thing where people... is there still a stigma around it? Do you still get people sort of poking you and trying to get you to drink? Or
you
are people
know,
more respectful now?
Two things. Number one, once people know that you mean it, then they don't poke you anymore. Because I think that, you know, I used to be the person that used to poke people because you think there's a chink in their armour. But once people are like, you're not doing it. And the only people that really give me a hard time, which is so few, it's usually a bit of a reflection of them.
Yeah.
Is what I found.
Yeah.
And then it's so surprising the people that do come up to you and try and talk to you about it, often when they're hammered, be like, I'm interested in giving up drinking. I'm like, all right, let's talk about this tomorrow when you're not on repeat of like looping the same conversation.
Yeah. And I think we take responsibility for our part in that drinking culture, especially around mums. We've done plenty of pictures of us sloshing pints of wine around and that, and we like it. But also we have like, we do still have jokes in our show about drinking and wine and stuff, but over the years we have toned it down a bit and been more aware. And like, we had a joke in the pre-lockdown show, didn't we, about Christmas and like, oh, what do you hate about Christmas? Oh, people who don't drink. Oh, why don't you, have you got a meeting to go to later? Oh no, I want you to have a drink so that I can feel better about my own life and shortcomings and terrible habits. And that's always a laugh, but it was one of those laughs that was a little bit, because there's some truth in it. So what strategies do you have for getting through those?
Thing is, when you talk about this, it's very nuanced and people are very particular about it. And, you know, when there's people come through extreme recovery, they can be funny about someone like me who wasn't in the depths of a drinking problem. But I was drinking.
You weren't outside Weatherspoon's 9 a.m. knickers around your head. That wasn't you.
I mean, I've been versions of close to that. That's the thing. You do look back. I do look at my very drunken pictures or some of the stories and be like, oh, wow. But my strategy is just sometimes just put off having that drink. Because I often found that I wanted to drink at like 8 or 9 o'clock. Mm. And then if I just like went and had a bath or probably ate chocolate or did something else, actually by like 9:30, 10, I'd kind of gone off the idea. And then you go to bed and then you have that smug feeling the next day when you feel great. Yeah. Do that a couple of times and then you soon, you just need to retrain. It's a bit like exercise. You need to retrain your mind to try and remember the good bit, even though every time you have to go, oh God, why would I not want to drink or why would I want to exercise? But you do feel great afterwards.
Yeah. And when you get those gains, I hate that word, but you know, when you get those sort of bonuses, it's like like exercise or any of that thing, it just pushes you
further
that,
into it.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's that first month or so that is really hard because you feel like you're losing everything rather than what you're gaining.
And but then in the end, the reason why people are sometimes smug and sober is because you do feel really great. You are poisoning your body over and over again.
All right.
Okay, you asked me. I try not to do this.
She speaks the truth, Helen.
I know. I'm listening. I'm taking it in.
Aperol spritz is like drinking hydrochloric acid. That's how bad it is for you. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Exactly that, yeah.
Just lick a battery. No, I'm really incredibly proud of you. And also, I think it, you know, the more of the overarching theme of this podcast and what you do is about being really honest and laying yourself bare, which is not easy. And I know I feel like, you know, we always talk about Insta mums and the honest face of parenting, but it is very confronting when you've shared something very deep and dark with essentially strangers on the internet.
Yeah, and it's funny when you said Pecker Mama and I cringed. And actually recently I went back to the early bit of my feed because I was trying to work out a bit of where the next chapter is going. And there's stuff that does make me cringe now when I look back. But that was me at that moment, like 5 or 6 years ago. And I think it's quite natural that I look at it and feel weird because I've grown and changed and learnt and the industry's changed. Mm. But yeah, it's sometimes just like, I can't believe this is out in the public domain. But it's all therapy for me, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the community that you've built is very supportive.
Yeah, they are. I had someone message me this morning saying I've woken up with a hangover again. I've had enough. You've inspired me to give it a go. And someone last week said I'm 6 months sober because of you.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah. That's pretty powerful.
Driving people away from drinks since 2019. Telford.
That's me.
and so you've got no anxiety. So do you attribute the fact that your anxiety's gone to sobriety?
Yeah, I really do. I think so few, that's the bit that does trouble me in this community. Like the mummy drinking culture, which we all know, is often paired with this talk about anxiety and mental health. And I think people really need to understand how much they come hand in hand. One more serious bit and then I'll stop. I think that alcohol is like shapewear, the emotional equivalent of shapewear. So if when you put a drink in your mouth, you're feeling stressed or angry, you feel great afterwards, but the next morning that has got to come out and appear in some other way, and it comes out with bad mental health. Those feelings don't go anywhere just because you don't feel them for a couple of hours.
No. I utterly agree. And also when you're going through difficult times, like, you know, like when I went through my separation, that was the first thing I thought about. I need a drink. Yeah. I need to smoke. I need to punish my body in all those sort of ways. And it's really, and that's when you become really vulnerable. And then the next day, that's when you get the weeps.
Yeah, you do.
Because you've sort of, you have
your double whammy.
Yeah, it's sort of, it almost condenses that, you know.
But the hard bit about it is when you are feeling those feelings, you've got nowhere to hide other than, I do probably eat more chocolate. You have to just really sit in those uncomfortable feelings sometimes, which isn't fun, but it is healthy in some ways.
I'm trying to find a balance. I do love alcohol, to be honest. I do love the way it makes me feel, but I also love the taste. I love the flavour. I love wine with a meal. I love having a glass of wine while I'm making a risotto and all that shit. So I don't have anxiety, so I don't think I need or want to give it up, but I also think I probably still drink too much.
So, but as long as you're aware, I think it's just like you've got to think about that moment when you're pouring the drink. What is going through your head? If you're like, oh, I'm cooking, I'm making this moment nicer, rather than trying to escape something or shut something out, that's a big difference.
Yeah, and I drink a lot of vodka on Friday nights when I play my video games on Twitch with my Twitch friends.
It's mind-blowing subculture.
But again, I think that is fun, and that is part of letting off a bit of steam on the stream.
Yeah.
And that's like... And it's quite good to have that going, all right, well, you know, it's not like, oh, well, it's Monday. It's like, no, Friday is for smash,
isn't it?
And I do find it, I would find it very hard not to come off stage and not have a pint of lager or cider, because that feels like, I have done it.
Yeah.
But that feels like a reward and a treat. I don't know how healthy that is, though. Mm. I don't know. What do you think?
I really like that too, because you're pumped full of adrenaline, and it's a symbolic kind of thing. It's like, I have earned that, or you know, I'm sitting down with a beer and going, I've just done something really big, and you know, so it's not the same with the fizzy water. It really isn't.
So if you're a comedian, it's fine to be an alcoholic. That's basically what we're saying.
Same with smoking. I feel like it's like the zero calories thing, and like I'm not going to get lung cancer because it was a fun cigarette.
Smoking is great though, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
I wish it wasn't bad for you.
Oh, see, I gave up smoking like 15 years. The thought of having another cigarette makes me feel ill.
Does it?
Yeah. I don't really mind the smell of it, weirdly.
I've just taken out everything fun in my life.
No, you have not. You have now become...
an upstanding citizen.
No, you've become more you.
It's true.
And also, you can lift really fucking heavy shit. And that, I think, is the big story. Because you can still do that. Like, I'm lifting heavy things. I'm still drinking and smoking.
So, good for you.
There we are.
So, I've never done strength training. What do you get out of it? Why? But why do you do it?
I think the moment when you've got to move something, you've got to commit your whole body and brain to it. So, in that thing, you can't be thinking about anything else. And then the physicality of moving a heavy weight flushes your system with something. So you just get this complete blankness for a moment, which you don't get in many other situations.
No, it's very meditative, and you have to engage everything. It's not just about arms or legs. Like we do in the powerlifting course I did, like it was all about pelvic floors and breathing and core. And we do all the other body conditioning stuff before you do that act of just bending over and lifting it, having it. Yeah, and that's what I like. It's really kind of holistic. But I, like yesterday, we were lifting heavy weights.
She got a poobie.
I lifted an IKEA.
Peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah,
lovely.
It was so good. But yeah, a woman lifted 100 kilos and the roar of all the other women around them. And I just thought, Jesus, that's good.
That is delicious.
And it was great. And I think, you know, there's so much else going on in your life when that's just like the focus. It's really great.
Yeah. And I think as a woman, we've all had whatever relationship you've had with your body. I never really understood that. I'm really strong. I'm really strong. And that feels really badass. In her book Stronger by Porna Bell, talks about, like, as a woman, knowing that you can, especially if you find yourself single for any reason, that you can move a wardrobe or carry off suitcases or do that stuff, that feels good.
I interviewed Porna for my book, and she said she went and did a powerlifting competition, and then when she walked down the street, a group of men were coming towards her, and she said usually she would dip her head and walk to the side. And she just walked straight on. And she said, that is what powerlifting gave her. Sense of purpose, sense of kind of who she was, but also it just shifted kind of the status that she felt. And I thought, God, that is something kind of magical.
I can probably lift more than you, and I can definitely lift you up. That's what I always say.
Yeah, the higher up I go, I went, oh, lifted Ellie last week, lifted, you know, one of my lovers the other week. You know, like I'm like, oh, going here, 90 kilos, I could lift him over my head now.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's really fun.
Yeah. Especially when we used to do, what's it called, the end of our show where I used to lift Ellie up, you know.
Yeah, that was, you did it for 25 nights in Edinburgh. She put me on her shoulder for 25 nights. It's amazing.
Yeah, throw up in the air. I could do the proper lift this time.
Amazing, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was recently told by a psychotherapist, not in a session, but during a lunch, that I walk around like I've got a massive dick between my legs. So maybe I don't need any more
that's
of that.
No, I think you're okay.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
your composure is like more masculine energy.
Yes, basically. It was interesting, and because she was saying, we were talking about how after our shows, we don't do them at the moment because of COVID, but we used to do meet and greet, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the audience, who's mostly mums, would come, and sometimes we do get people who are really upset, and they cry, mm-hmm. And they tell us that we've meant a lot to them and whatever, and that's lovely, and they're usually going through something, whether it's a separation or whatever. Anyway, but very often, they will gravitate towards me, and they want to cry on me, which I find quite strange, because although, as you know, Clemmie, I am deep down actually quite a nice person.
Yeah, you are.
On the stage, my persona is quite high status, and it's quite rough and abrasive and cynical and hard, whereas Helen is the affectionate, soft, lovely,
like
cuddly
a massive cushion, yeah.
A lovely cushion.
Thank you.
So I was like, why do these people choose me? And she said, first of all, she said, you don't want to know. And I was like, no, I do. And she was like, because they think you're like a man. And they think you can take it.
You're strong. You're,
that you can lift them up and support them. And that's what they want. And you walk around like you have a massive penis between your legs. I was like, I was quite...
You had to sit with that.
I had to sit with it. And I was quite... I feel quite flattered. I feel flattered and proud of that. Which in itself makes me a little bit worried and guilty. Because I'm like, but I'm really proud to be a woman. And I'm a feminist. And I believe that women are just as strong and good as men. Why do I feel flattered that that's...
But why? That's the next one.
I'm really trying to unpick
why?
But you're an interesting one. You're a hard one for people to read.
You could just say weirdo. You could just say
But every time I think I know you, I learn something that just is like, oh, right, I've now got to rejig that into who I think you are.
I'm a fucking onion, mate.
You are an onion.
Do you know I'm a qualified speaker?
You're the opposite. Yeah, I got
what
you.
What is the opposite of an onion?
Someone a banana. An aubergine.
Who I thought you were straight away is exactly who you are.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I just don't ever shut up about myself. So that.
But
it's interesting. I remember I was so embarrassed. I had like such anxiety about this. About a year into meeting Ellie, we were rehearsing, and we were just in her kitchen. I turned to her and I said, "Oh, Ellie, last night I had a dream that you had a penis, and everything kind of went weird."
Say to that.
What was she doing with her penis?
No, it was just that she unzipped her trousers and said, "I've got a penis." Right. And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, fair enough." Yeah. It was just a really strange dream, but now it's sort of triggered that.
She also has previously told me I look like Bob Geldof, Clemmie. So let's take this what you will.
I've just had a flashback to a conversation we had when we were recently about nipples.
Oh,
and I was saying I was saying that I think I want a boob reduction, and yes, and that you can sometimes lose the feeling in your nipples.
Oh,
and
right.
you were quite defensive about that.
Well, I was like, why would you want to lose? Lose the feeling. I love having feeling.
Yeah,
in your nipples.
That's exactly what you said
thing.
To me.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not bothered.
Oh no! Oh God, I think about that every day.
What?
Having my nipples played with? Yes, please.
Every day,
yeah,
okay. Well, it's different people like different things.
It's not that I don't like that, but is it if I had my boobs reduced, would that be a all right exchange? I think for me it would, but you're passionate about it, so are you.
But yeah. I was having this conversation with someone else the other day she's got a very young toddler, so she's not long finished breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like me and Helen, she enjoys having a fiddled with like an old radio.
Yeah,
but since breastfeeding, this happened to me. Even after I stopped breastfeeding, I couldn't stand my nipples being touched or certainly anything else because it had a muscle memory of this associating it with my child and milk and all of that. And it took me actual years, frankly,
maybe that's
to let go.
Maybe
of
I'm
that.
Too far.
Because Greta's
3.5.
Yeah, I don't know. But for anyone listening, it did come back, and now, as I say,
and Helen thinks about it every day.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah, let's see if you can find Radio 6. That's what I'm saying to you, on even though it's FM. Oh gosh, well, we've done strength training, sobriety, nipple twiddling.
Oh my god,
we've established I'm an onion. Did I ever tell you I'm a qualified dive master?
So you didn't know that. It doesn't surprise me anymore, though. Nothing surprises me about you.
Yes. So now, what's your next big challenge? You've done the giving up drinking. You've done the strength training. What's next?
I'm going to give you a serious answer, which is just try. Well, two things. I'm trying to stop putting challenges in all the time. I've realised that is something that I love. Brené Brown talks about you have to check in with yourself if you're better at giving up things than you are at abstaining at them. So I'm very good at quite hard lines on stuff, like now I do this and now I do that.
Wait, hang on, what's the difference between giving up and abstaining?
Moderation, sorry, good word on for correcting me. So yeah, she talks about if you're better at giving up than you are at moderation, then you've got to ask yourself some questions. So I'm very good at that's it, it's over. Or now I'm doing weightlifting and I'm obsessed about it and I'm going to try and get big numbers. I'm going to try and just cruise a bit and not keep trying to do big challenges all the time.
That's interesting.
I'm not going to be very good at it. My palms are sweating as I'm saying it. But you know what I mean? I'm being very goals orientated.
Yeah, and you get that high.
Yeah.
And that's, and you know, I think that's really good. Because I used to shy away from having goals because I was afraid that I would fail at them.
Yeah.
So I would always convince myself, I was like, oh, I don't need to lose weight, or I don't need to run very fast, or I thought that that's, you know, I'm sort of the opposite. Really? I'm quite good at moderating because I always do a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Never commit too much.
Yeah, but now that I'm doing, you know, these other things, I'm sort of going the other way where, like, it's okay to have goals and you're gonna do it. So that kind of scares me, and I'm kind of used to being, oh, don't worry, it's okay.
Which way do you ladder on that?
I definitely know. I like a project. I like a thing. I like to learn. I love learning new shit. And it took me years to even realise that. And then I look back on all the shit I've learned over the years and all the nutty courses I've done, some which I've stuck with, some which I haven't. But
no, I'm not giving you any more food. Sorry.
You like a thing.
I like a thing. Mm. But I think my thing is, also I'm a video gamer. I like to, sometimes for me it's about completing the game. So it's about, Maybe learning that it's not always about completing the game. So I'm learning Italian, don't know how to talk about it. But maybe I've accepted that I'm never going to be fluent in Italian, and that's, I don't need a degree in it. But I do like to keep going and so just adjust goals and make them realistic. I'm going to run this bloody marathon, which I've been trying to run for years. But I also understand that I'm 43 and my knees aren't great. And after I've done the marathon, I'm not going to sign up for Paris and New York and Boston. Like, I know a lot of people do. I've seen a physio and he's like, you can run one marathon and that's going to be your lot. And I've made peace with that and gone, that's all right.
Yeah, but it's not natural. I'm the same. If I'm doing something, I'm obsessed with the next one and the next one and the next one. As I always talk about, I do CrossFit and I was just trying to get better and better and better. And then you're just like, I'm not going to be a competitive CrossFitter, so why do I just try and enjoy this a little bit more?
Rather than
push. So, I haven't got any big plans. Although I spoke to an explorer on my podcast last week, and she's sailed the Atlantic, she's rowed around the UK, and she challenged me to do a 24-hour solo. So 24 hours in...
Blimey, you'll be red raw.
Oh, God, yeah. Very sweaty.
24 hours in nature on my own.
Oh, wow!
And I was like, okay, that's...
You did that in the Lake District, is that right?
Just with some friends, yeah. I've just got into hiking, like a cliche.
Amazing, yeah.
Are you cold hiking? Water swimming?
Yeah.
It is just walking, isn't it? Should we just call it walking?
Yeah, that was one of my nutty projects. Before I got married in 2010, me and my dad did the coast-to-coast walk. So that's 192 miles across the...
You've always done something... You definitely always do go big if you're doing something, but that's what I want to do.
But Coast to Coast was brilliant. But basically for us, I'm sure you would take it more seriously, but for us it was basically a pub crawl because it's just it's just through Yorkshire, the Lake District.
And you can do some really good snacking, can't you?
Oh, the Scott, I had a cream tea every afternoon. Yeah. It was the best 2 weeks of my life.
On the first day we went up, we came down and there was people having dinner at 4:30. We're like, what are these people? What are they doing? Next day came down. Yeah, we'll have dinner at 4:30. Excellent. Just have a big meal.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
No, but I love walking and I really do want to do those sort of things. But I've also booked a week in Ibiza at the end of August with my single friend who's called Garana. We're going to have a lovely time.
Yeah, you are. You're, so, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I'll live vicariously for you and I'll sit with the cream teas. God, now I want to do coast to coast. You see, I can't help myself.
No, I want to make scones. That's all I want. Yeah. Oh, while drinking a glass of wine.
Maybe I'll ladder that up to
coast to coast is amazing.
Yeah, there you go. My thing I'm going to do is just gone out the window. I'm just going to set another challenge. Coast to coast. I'm 40 next year, so I'm having a life crisis about that.
You don't need to. 40's great.
Yeah, 40's... but did you feel funny coming up to it?
A little bit, but it was a really great time in that Ellie and I were just about to hit a peak with our careers, and it was 40 was the year that we went to Edinburgh and that sort of stuff. So it was really good, and we started training for the marathon and all sorts of things, and it sort of felt like it was all going to kick off. So I liked it. I adore being in my 40s.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's great. I have a real thing, but I don't. Time passing, I don't really understand why that's a problem. I don't understand Botox and all that stuff. I'm like, we age, we're humans. That's
I want to try it all.
Oh yeah, stick it in my face. 100% on the fence about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't care if other people do. Yeah. It's up to them. But personally, I'm like, well, I'm 43. Why am I trying to pretend I'm not?
I look like I'm 43. Yeah.
That's all right. I'm all right with that. Mm. I look like Bob Geldof as well. I mean, I can't change that. No amount of Botox is going to change that, is it?
No, and you've got a phantom penis.
Yeah. I don't know, a baby tooth went out.
Yeah, what happened with that?
I had a baby tooth in there. It just fell out after 43 years. The day after my son's first tooth went out in exactly the same place.
Kind of weird, isn't it?
10 minutes before we went on stage.
Did the tooth fairy come?
I told her to put it under the pillow.
We forgot the tooth fairy last night.
Everybody does.
Blamed it on the football.
Yes. I think you should just
Things are very busy out there.
We just blame everything on Boris Johnson and our family. We're like, Boris!
Thing is, who has cash these days? No one has cash.
No, exactly right.
Exactly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
But anyway, Clemmy Telford, tell us about your new book.
Okay. Yes. I always wish I was better at this bit now, you know, the spiel. You've had White House
so
on
British.
Recently. Anna just White House on recently. He's always, like, fiery on this. Okay. But why... The full title is How to Answer Tricky Questions from Kids and Have an Honest Conversation with Yourself. I took 34 tricky questions from kids, like, but why is there blood on the toilet? But why won't she be my best friend? But why do they look different from me? But why do people get divorced? But why do you have to have a job? All those kind of massive, massive subjects.
Hmm.
Talk to a load of experts, both experts in their field, but experts by experience, and tried to answer the questions. But actually, what happened is I just realised more about the process of thinking and being curious than I did about answering the questions.
Mm.
It's really good, but I think they're the thing. I mean, and Ellie nailed it. So British is so much of our culture, is it? Well, it's just because we don't talk about money. We don't talk about this, or you know, divorce is hard, but we don't want to talk about that either. But you know, actually, unpicking it all is so cathartic and so important. And children are the best for that. And I like the fact that you do have really honest and difficult conversations with your children, because it does challenge you.
Yeah, mainly that's because although I'm trying to answer them for kids, it ends up being me as an adult trying to go through each of those things and actually work out what you think. And I think over the last year, particularly, we've all been busy regurgitating other people's thoughts on stuff, and sharing a post on Instagram is not learning about a subject. It's not working out what you think, and it's not educating yourself.
Mm.
And that's what we all need to do. Stop and do some actual thinking, which we don't do very much anymore, I don't think.
No, we only read headlines. We don't take
clickbaity
time.
Answers.
Yeah. I finished a book the other day and I felt like I needed a certificate because I'm so bad. I'm just, my concentration is shit since, well, having children and then the lockdown. And then actually going, I'm going to read a physical book. I'm not going
to the end.
I'm not going to do Audible. I'm going to buy a book. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what that felt like. Yeah, put it on the shelf. It's a sort of, like those sort of physical experiences are now kind of, you know, even like going to the shops and stuff, everything's on my phone or like, oh, I need that dress and I need that click, click, click.
It's here now.
It's all very immediate.
Yeah.
I think I was saying to you earlier, but what I'm struggling with is as the world sort of gets back to fucking new normal, whatever you want to call it, but as we're going out a bit more, like I'm struggling with, like, I remember like going, oh, I don't want to be as hectic and as stressed and have packed my diary of all the things, and yet here we are, it's all happened again. But there's a part of me that's like, oh, but you know, if we might get locked down again, so we've got to go out and do all the things now. We've got to do all the holidays and the meals and all the things, because otherwise it might be fucked.
Yeah, it's a weird place to be in, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you struggling with that?
Well, I also heard someone on Instagram talk about this. We've all changed a lot in the last year, and then we've tried to go back to our old lives, and then it doesn't quite fit because, yeah, as you say, you might not want that bit anymore. The friendship groups have changed, you've changed, and we need a bit of a time of integration, basically, to try and...
just my cat.
To try and settle down with it.
The boys are fighting, sorry.
Oh, they're trying to integrate.
Well, that's Frederico's tiger cat, and that's my cat. Get out! Anyway, sorry.
It's a funny old time, isn't it?
But at least people are talking now, and I think you know, I think, you know, and that's the great thing about your book. It's a lovely prompt, and also I think sometimes we just face things when they're immediately in front of us, and I, you know, especially when I became instantly divorced, I didn't think about getting divorced, but actually I should have thought about that, because there's like a 1 in 2 chance that I'll get divorced, and we shouldn't feel afraid
to talk about it
or face it or think about it, because it might happen, and that's not a bad thing to have
it's a conversation
with yourself.
And also the biggest, I think, generational shift is I feel like my parents just used, no offense mum and dad, not that you listen to this, but they just used to make it up. If they didn't know the answer, they'd just blag it, whereas I really try in the book to say to people, if you don't know, say you don't know. Like, don't try and come up with a quick fire made up answer, which is what we often do, especially if they're asking the, as you're trying to put them to bed, you're starving, you're just like, going to give you a quick answer and shut you up and move on. But just say, I don't know, let me come back to you, let me have a think about it.
Let me Google that for you. Yeah. That's what I like to say.
Yeah. Let me look on Instagram and then I'll come back with an answer, or not, we'll never talk about it again. But you know what I mean.
Or just go, Alexa. That's it. Yeah. Oh, no, I've woken yours up now.
Oh, dear.
Sinister, isn't it?
But it's a bit like my kids hear things from friends now that they're sort of 10 and 12, and they go, what's a dildo? And what's a 69? And things like that. And what's an orgasm? And you have to answer. It's a hard one to answer.
Age appropriately.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
Well, especially around the sex questions, what my research suggests is that kids will take on the amount of information that is appropriate for their age. Mm-hmm. So, I saw that happen with my boys when they both asked. Woody, who's younger, quite quickly moved on. Bertie asked a few more questions and then took it. So, yeah, but...
And of course, as the old joke goes, if your child does ask you what an orgasm is, you say, I don't know, ask your father.
Yay!
Put that in your book. Stick that in your book. So, But Why by Clemmy Telford. Excellent, excellent book. Very thought-provoking. And it's out. It'll be out now by the time this comes out.
22nd of July.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Out now, and you can get it from bookshops, you can get it online.
Yeah. People know where to buy books.
You have to say it though, also available by audiobook, and as Helen will attest, audiobooks are hard.
Awful. That's a really hard thing to do.
I don't know why you people aren't outsourcing this to me with my BBC voice.
Ellie did her bit of the book and
absolutely it. I found it so impossible.
Oh, it's like my tongue enlarged. I could feel every tooth in my mouth. I was going, I couldn't get the words out.
I've got quite a few fancy words in there. Seriously regretted it because I couldn't say them.
No, I know. We had to change. I couldn't say accompanying, and I couldn't say.
You still can't say it, mate.
You still can't say it. So we changed it to joining. And
accompanying.
And what's another word for cheering you on? Championing. I cannot say championing.
No, championing. You're putting too many letters.
Championing.
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 Can you say champion?
Champion.
Can you say ing?
Ing.
Championing.
Championing. Cannot say it. So we said cheering me on.
Yeah, great.
All your friends. Continuing.
I know, I kept saying that, cheering me on. So we had to.
Why am I so stupid?
Oh my god. And then we had to change it is to it's.
You couldn't say it.
Okay, let's just say it's.
You can't say it is.
It is. It is.
You can say that.
Yeah, I know, but I think by then they were trying to shorten it.
Yeah, because I had to add an extra day to my audiobook recording because I couldn't get the words out.
Oh.
It's so painful.
Oh, it's horrid. And then I cried a lot of the time.
Did you? Because of what you were reading? Mm. Or because you were feeling stupid? Or both?
No, because of, I was reliving the greatest trauma of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a small booth.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, Clemmy, she's going through a divorce. Really mention it, she doesn't like to talk about it very much, but it is a true story.
Clemmy's podcast, but anyway,
very successful podcast.
But buy Clemmy's book, it's excellent.
Thanks, guys, thanks so much.
But why? Because it's good. Excellent. Now, we have a sponsor for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
I am energized by this sponsor, Ellie, because they're batteries.
Yes, Clemmy. How do you feel about batteries?
They're very useful, aren't they?
Big fan. Big Clemmy Telford, big fan of batteries. stick that in your book. Yes, we're big fans of Eneloop batteries. And specifically, we're big fans of Eneloop rechargeable battery packs, aren't we, Helen?
They're absolutely excellent because I have a son who is using up AA, AAA batteries all the time, right? All the time because of his Xbox, let me specify. And I'm churning through them all the time. Mm-hmm. And then we got these Eneloop rechargeable packs the other day. And I'm like, my life has become easier.
Yes. And always of course, you have batteries. Your own collection of personal toys which take batteries, which also
I know.
Powering through, so to speak.
I am happy for so many reasons.
So, yes, these white Eneloop batteries are really good. You can discharge and discharge these Eneloop batteries up to, guess how many times, Telford?
I don't even know.
Go on, have a guess.
I know, I think the way.
Come on, make it fun.
Eight.
2,100, you absolute moron. What a fool.
And this will be interesting to you.
But why, Mummy, are we spending so much on rechargeable batteries? Because we're throwing them away every eight times we've used them because we're fucking idiots. What are you doing?
Don't panic.
This is exciting for you because if you need to take something battery charged up a mountain, they withstand extreme temperatures.
Perfect.
From freezing mountain shots for minus 20 degrees or hot summer days, 40 degrees. Look at that.
Listen, wow, perfect for me.
I'm always dealing with freezing mountain shots and not having batteries for those. It is an absolute nightmare. Mm. So they're pre-charged with solar power. They're ready to use. They're made by Panasonic. Great bunch of lads. Why are you laughing at me? I'm just doing
the
work.
What you're saying.
Doing
the
work.
It's a terrible answer.
Panasonic make high quality products, and this is my favourite product so far. That's, who knows what else they're going to make?
Oh,
Eneloop, good on you.
Their batteries have a higher capacity compared to counterparts, Helen, but that's bone your fucking mind, isn't it? There you are. And thanks to their stable voltage,
yes.
Which is what I look for in a battery,
No,
they are perfect for all kinds of devices at home. And then they've put in brackets toys, remotes, in case you don't know what kind of devices take batteries. So just to be clear, there's two examples.
And I like the dot, dot, dot. I think that refers to the the box under the bed.
No, they are good because they're good for the planet, which I'd quite like it if it didn't burn to a cinder in my children's lifetime. So get some Eneloop Panasonic batteries.
Absolutely, go for it now. Yes. There's more information on the Panasonic website, obviously, which is www.panasonic-eneloop.eu.
Just Google it.
Eneloop, Eneloop.
Yes, good work. And you can recharge them, again, just to clarify, 2,100 times, up to 2,100 times, not eight times, because if that was the case, they'd be shit. And they're not shit, they're great.
They're absolutely excellent. They're the best batteries I've ever used.
Yeah, listen,
absolutely.
I think Panasonic are going to give us twice the money when they hear that, mate. That's
that is good.
That's gold. Excellent, good. Now,
Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Scummy Mummy Confessions. Who'd like to kick us off today?
Am I meant to have thought of a confession? I'm sitting here panicking.
Oh, well, I did. That is the format of the podcast. You have been on three times.
Last time I was on 3.5 years ago.
Right.
You might prompt me beforehand with a briefing.
Sorry.
We don't like coming up with new ideas unless it's absolutely necessary. So.
Okay.
So I went to a birthday party, which we were all at the other night. And I did that thing where I said I was going to eat beforehand. This gets back to your drinking thing. And I did not. I did not eat beforehand. I got very excited.
Oh, you said you were going to have a couple of boiled eggs.
I did not. I was too busy. And then I drank all the champagne, all the fizzy wine. And then I had a nap on the sofa while everyone else was having a dance, and Steph, our friend, don't buy her flowers, took a photo of me as I was passed out. Little sleep. I just can't do it anymore. I need to be able to pace myself. That's what I should be able to do. But I didn't spew, so I feel very proud of myself.
We weren't sitting next to each other, were we? I asked them to replenish the bread basket. I ate on behalf of everybody else. I said, again, the joy of not drinking. I scoffed that food.
Yeah.
Got to get the carbs in you. I can't think of any confession. I'm really sorry.
That's all right. It's not us you've let down. It's yourself. So don't worry.
Have you ever done a wee or a fart or any kind of squidgy things at the gym?
No, I have to go for a wee before doing anything involving jumping.
So. Yeah. I did 20 seconds of skipping the other day and I was like, oh, I'm going to leak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably,
Sweat.
Skipping is the worst for
really
wees.
Hard.
Yeah, I can run now, 20k and not want to wee, but if I skip for 20 seconds...
Well, it depends where I am on my cycle as well, I think. I think I need more before I come on my period around that kind
really?
Of time.
Yeah, Fanny gets a bit loose.
Maybe.
I like that you were trying to gently lead her into a confession then. Have you ever just shat yourself on public transport?
I've had to poo in the bushes at Peckham Rye a couple of times.
Oh, have you?
Nice. On a run, yeah.
Oh,
I've
really?
I've talked about that before. Like,
no, tell us now.
No, just that. Sometimes once you haven't got a window, have you, if you're running? You're just like, I've got to go for a poo about now. No?
I usually go to a toilet, Clemmie.
Sometimes I just can't.
Oh, wow. There's a public toilet in Peckham Rye.
I know, of course I know that.
There's a very public toilet now.
Over the last year, I spent more time on Peckham Rye than is natural, same as everyone else. But I previously had to. I was going to tell you the exact bush, but I won't.
Well, there we are, listeners. What an absolute savage Clemmie Telford truly is.
But do you cover it up with leaves or leave it out?
Cover it up.
God's not happy. Oh, excuse me.
Is that your bum?
I just bit farty. I had too much salad at lunch. Is that a thing?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have some kind of bean with it?
Yeah, a lot of grains.
Oh, that's it. It's not a salad. No. It's a grain.
Well, anyway, thanks again to our sponsors, Eneloop Batteries by Panasonic. They're very, very good. You can recharge them up to how many times, Clemmie Telford?
2,100
times.
Oh, my God. Get involved.
Yes, they're good for the planet and people who use things that have batteries in. Good. That's that. What is that noise?
Oh, it's my emails. Your finger. Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned.
No, don't worry. Anyway, there we go. Yes, we're on tour. Come and go on our website. sorry, by the time... I'm so tired. This is my life. Just farting, snorting and coughing. That's it. And she's my misophonia. It's unbelievable.
Always on the important bit.
Anyway, we're on tour. Up and down the country. You can get tickets and details from scummymummies.com.
And if you, when you're listening to this, I think it will be about 2 days before we go to Edinburgh. We're going to Edinburgh for 4 days, aren't we, mate?
Yes, lots of people said, when are you coming up north? And the answer is August.
Yes.
Come.
Please do. Please join us up there. Clemmie Telford's book, But Why, is out currently. Yeah.
And I've got a book that's coming out called Get Divorced, Be Happy. Please buy it.
Yeah, it's really good. Especially my part of the audiobook. Just download that. So I think that's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you so much for coming
back. Thank you, Clemmie. Lovely to see you.
We've really made that a lovely overarching package where we talk about one thing. We've talked about the most random collection of
nipples,
stuff.
Walking, batteries. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the
grains.
All rounded off with a fart.
Yeah. Yes. So sorry.
Thank you so much for listening. Do apologise. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
No.
Sorry, I farted. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh my God. Why is it? Didn't you do that on Anna's podcast?
I did that on
Why
Anna's
is it when
podcast.
We have a woman coming on to talk about her book, you have to do a fart?
I know, it was just.
No, it's because you're leaning right
I
forward.
I got into a really good fart position.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.